I'm happy to share with you a few thoughts for the closing of the Sabbath day today. And I want to begin with a story from my summer 6 years ago. I was driving with a car. I was not the driver. Someone else took me in the car. And I was driving. There was a path. And we turned around the corner and stopped the car. And this was it. This was our home to be for the next few weeks. I was doing a liturgy evangelism program in Austria, in Styria, and we were working at a church, or we were staying at a church, which had a very, very bad condition. And I will draw you a picture. It looks like this. This was the house. The door. And then they told us that the girls will sleep here and the guys there. And the house was cracked. Like, it looked like there was a big, what is it in English? It's like, ein Riss.
Crack.
Yeah. And I was standing there outside of this building. I was like, are they sure we should sleep there? I mean, I don't know if the foundation is, you know, if it's a good foundation at all. I mean, maybe there will be a problem and then too many people are up there and something will fall down. And yeah, and we will have injuries or whatever. And what I want to talk about tonight is about this message. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. These are Jesus' words, and I will elaborate with you together what he was giving in this teaching, the full meaning of what it means to be united, to be together. And that's why we also sang this song, because we are here to press together, to unite with one another, to move forward together and not individually. And yeah, the scene where this took place is actually in a house. Surprise? So Jesus is in a house, and he is teaching in this house. He's speaking, he is sharing, and while he sits in this house, his mother and brothers, the siblings of Jesus, sister, they are coming, and they are walking towards the house, and they want to go and get him. This is told in Mark 3, if you want to see the verses for yourself. This is Mark 3, 31 to 35. Okay. And it says, and his mother and his brother came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. They sent to Jesus, they called him. And a crowd was sitting around him. And they said to him, your mother and your brother are outside seeking you. And he answered them, who are my brother and who are my mother? Is that strange? We always think that Jesus is the polite and a very, very, as you heard in the sermon, so a perfect example, right? And don't we know that in scripture it says you should honor your parents? And Jesus, he's saying, who is out there? Then looking about at those who sat around him, he said, there are my mother and there are my brother. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. Okay, this is the scenery. So Jesus is inside, and there is a big crowd. How big is the crowd? The crowd is as big that they cannot pass, they cannot just go there. They cannot just go there and talk to him and whisper in his ear. Actually, it says a few verses beforehand, verse 20 to 21, if you want to follow along. It says that he went in a home, and the crowd gathered again, so that they could not even eat. We take in shifts up there because we cannot eat all together in that small room. You know what took place there? Everyone wanted to be in this house. There was no room they could eat food. There was something going on. And it says, and when his family heard it, they went out to seize him. For they were saying, he is out of mind. What is Jesus doing here? His family says, he must be insane. He's out of mind. What? His own family. How come? What is their problem? Why do they react like this? Have a seat. In the Gospel of John 7, verse 3, we learn that not even his brothers believed in him. So, here's the family of Jesus, and here's the house where Jesus is inside. The family comes to grab him because they think he's insane. They don't believe in him. They think what he is doing there is nonsense. And Jesus says, if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. This is true of Jesus' own house. It's true of Jesus' own household. Jesus' own family was divided during the time when he was living on this earth. And I'm not sure how many of you come from a home that is broken, where the household is actually not this happy, healthy family setting. Jesus knows how this is like, because he has been in that same situation. Throughout his life, while he was on this earth, his house was basically not united. He had a mission that his brothers didn't understand, that they didn't appreciate, because he wasn't like them. He wasn't doing the silly things they were doing. As we heard, he was not this rebellious young adult. Yeah? He had his mind fixed like a flint. So I want to emphasize again verse 35. It says, for whoever does the will of God, he is my brother, he is my sister, he is my mother. House that is divided won't be able to stand. While Jesus was about the will of his Father, while he was starting to build up the house, which is basically then also later, he built the church, right? We are also the temple of God. It's like a house, it's like a building. And Jesus starts to build this house while he was on this earth. He laid the foundation and he said, the foundation is doing the will of God. Well, I wonder, why is Jesus sitting in this house anyway? Wasn't he used to teach outside in nature? This is what we picture him, right? He was at the seashore, he was maybe on the mountain or at the mountain somewhere, so they were sitting up somewhere on the mountain. He was standing down there because to reach everyone, it's good like this. Or he was in the boat maybe and everyone was on the shore, right? This is the pictures we have. But Jesus, he sits in a house. Is that weird? I think there's a purpose. Mark the following lesson. Following verses, we are back in Mark 3, or still Mark 3 if you haven't changed. It's sharing something. I'm in Mark 3:27 now, where Jesus is giving us an analogy. He's speaking about someone entering another's house. Verse 27. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods, unless he first finds the strong man. Is that true? It's impossible to enter any house if it doesn't belong to you and if the person who is strong needs to be overcome first. In another gospel, which is Matthew, he speaks about the same. Matthew 12:25 and verse 30. There again, Jesus is saying, every kingdom that is divided against itself is laid waste. And no city or house divided against itself will stand. It's the same It's the same context. Then it says in verse 30, whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. So he's giving the foundation. He says, those who are with me, they are united with the foundation of the house, right? Those who are not, they scatter. They destroy. Or another gospel, which is also giving us more insight. In Luke 11, there's a longer description. This is Luke 11, 21 to 23. Giving us a better picture of what takes place with this strong man. The strong man has a full armor. So imagine not just a strong man, but someone who is in full armor. He's determined to protect his house. And it says he guards his own palace. His goods are safe. I want to stop here. So, what is his main intention? Why did he put on the armor? What does the text say? He's guarding his goods. We'll come back to that later. He guards his goods. Okay, later. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. So what is taking place here? There is one that is strong. The strong one is in full armor. But then there comes a stronger one. Who is the stronger one? This is a parable, actually. Jesus is speaking. He is giving a parable for the work of the devil and for his own work. So basically, the devil is the strong man. The strong man has full armor protecting his
goods.
Who is the goods? Or what is meant with the goods?
Us.
Yes. We are like the goods. This is also in Isaiah 49, 24 to 25. Can you turn there and read it? Isaiah 49, 24 to 25. Oh, before you go there. 49 is a chapter, powerful chapter, about that God will never forget us, like as a mother can never forget a child, right? It says, you're engraved in palms of my hands. Like, even if a mother can forget her children, I will never forget thee. And then in the end of that beautiful chapter, it says in verse 24, 25, can the prey be taken from the mighty, or the captives of the tyrants be rescued? This is a question. Can it be done? For thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken, and the prey of the tyrant be rescued. For I will contend with those who contend with you, and I will save your children. We are that prey. Satan is the strong one, holding us. He's fully armored. He's guarded to not lose us. We are the prey. In another chapter of Isaiah, this is Isaiah 53, verse 12. It says, therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with them, because he poured out his soul to death. Because Jesus poured his soul to death, we are no longer the prey of the enemy, but the prey of God. The house that was not able to stand because it was on a shaky foundation, it didn't have the foundation of doing the will of God. Jesus comes to build it up from the very beginning. He lays out the foundation. He says, the will of God, everyone who does the will of God, is my mother, my sister, my brother. Isn't that amazing? Now, what about the family of Jesus? How does it work together now with the physical family of Jesus? They thought he's out of mind. This is why they came, to get him. He's out of mind. the scribes and the Pharisees, they told that his word was actually the word of the devil. Right? He was co-working with the devil. That's what they said. They said, oh, he does these things because he's one of the devils. Yeah. He's coming to us because of that. Actually, this is a sin against the Holy Spirit. Ascribing the work of God to the evil one. And Jesus illustrates this. He says, it says in another verse, this is John speaking, the kingdom has come down to this earth, but they didn't receive him. Paraphrase from John 1. He came to his own, and they didn't receive him. The strong man, the stronger one, came. And he came to take us as a prey. The family of Jesus, they come to reason with him. That's why they're there. They want to bring him back to real thinking, because they think he's insane. He needs their help. And actually in verse 21 it says they are trying to hold him, like literally grabbing him, maybe dragging him out of the house. We see there is a real tension going on. And I think this is also reality. There is a real tension going on. And this is what a cracked household does. There's real tension. It's not just the same. A house that is divided in itself cannot be able to stand. It's impossible. Now what do they fight against? The family of Jesus. Why are they so aggressive about his ministry? Have you thought about that? I'm not sure, but I guess that they had other plans for Jesus. They had different expectations. I mean, he was one of them, you know, in their family, and then suddenly he turns out to be this strange guy doing all those things because of the will of God. Does it sound familiar to some of you at least? Isn't it the reaction that one gets when one starts to follow the will of God? Isn't that what we learn in the sermon? It's like being abnormal if you're obedient to the will of God. But here's Jesus sitting in the house preaching the most powerful sermon. He says, those that do the will of my Father, they are my mother, brother, my sister. It's amazing. The expectations of him were different. And Jesus, I think, I'm just imagining him sitting there, and I think he had a struggle going on in his heart as well, because this was his family. He couldn't be just indifferent about it. But even if he felt rejected by his own loved ones, he didn't show. Even if he was upset because not even his mom understood his mission, although she had promises through the prophets given to her, Jesus determined to obey. He rather obeyed the will of God than to care for the opinion of his beloved family. So I wonder now, who belongs to the true family of Jesus? How big is the circle of those who really do what he says? Are we, am I, a part of that family? Is it the motto, which is in Psalm 40 verse 8, It is this motto, I think. I delight to do thy will. Yea, my God, your law is within my heart. Those who have this as a motto in their life, they are the true family of Jesus. They are those that he's not ashamed of to call them their brother, their sister, or even as the text indicates, his mother. As we're here and we're gathered, and I think it's very nice that we have this theme about coming together and unite. And as we sang in the song as well, this is why we're here. It's time to lay down differences, to lay down pride, and to really come together and work together. Side by side, working together. Because this is how the house will be able to stand. The family of Jesus Christ is able to stand together because everyone is following the will of God. This work is going to be able to stand against everything that will come when we follow the will of God. And in closing, I want to share a very powerful verse from Philippians 1. Would you like, you can turn with me here. Actually, Paul, who writes together with Timothy this letter, in verse 27, he is giving a description of what it means to live a life that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 21, first chapter of Philippians, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you, or I am absent, I may hear of you that you're standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. And not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is what I think the lesson of Jesus about the cracked household can teach us. Living a life worthy of the gospel is a life where we are coming unitedly and obey the will of God. I'd like to close with a word of prayer and invite you to stand. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this message, for the power of your words. Thank you that Jesus, you know exactly what we're going through if we come from broken homes, broken families. You have been rejected yourself, and praise you that you know exactly how this relates to everyone's life who is affected by that. Lord, as we come before you, we have failed and we have started to work in our own behalf. Maybe, Lord, we have failed to stick together, to press together. We have not been following you as we could or as we should. Please forgive us, Lord. Forgive us the tension that has come up, that has sprung up. And wherever we are not part of your true family, of the true household, Lord, please have mercy on us. And I pray that you would do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, that you would be the one that is uniting us and taking us to a new level in this work as we proceed, Lord. It is your work anyway. Thank you for laying the foundation and for giving us enough to know what we should be doing. I praise you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.